John Wesley Harding is not only the name of a Bob Dylan album, it's also the name of a singer-songwriter. As a matter of fact, Wesley Harding Stace took his new name, John Wesley Harding, from the Dylan album. Back in 1988, Harding was working toward his PhD at Cambridge University in his native England, but he abandoned the hallowed halls of academia in favor of the not-so-hallowed concert halls. Since then, he's developed a reputation as a clever singer-songwriter, and given his academic background, it shouldn't come as a surprise that John Wesley Harding puts a lot of effort into crafting the lyrics for his songs.
Wanna be with the blessed? Come on and ride on my merry-go-round. You wasting your money on all of the rest. Come on and ride on my merry-go-round. It doesn't go faster, it isn't that safe. And if there's a problem, there'll be no escape. Oh, half of the horses are stuck on with tape. Ride on my merry-go-round. Let's go.
In my music, as I write it, lyrics are the most important thing by far. You hear a lot of people, I think, sometimes quite disingenuously saying, oh, no, the musics are, you know, they're both exactly the same. You take one without... It's just not true in my work, in the sense that I've always thought that if I was going to make an interesting contribution to the history of music, which sounds a very pretentious thing to say, but you know what I mean. If I was going to make a contribution, the contribution was going to be in my lyrics. Also, the lyrics I work very, very hard on. I work very hard on them, even though they sometimes come out of me very quickly. Whereas the music, it just bubbles out of me. I'm not even self-conscious about it. I don't care about sounding like other people or trying to make up something original. I just write the tune that comes out of me. So I always write the lyrics first. The lyrics always take me a long time to write. And then I just kind of squeeze the music onto them. Sometimes I think this has, you know, possibly held me back from writing even poppier stuff that I would like to write, because I never go with the rhythms or the hook first. It's just the words, and the words are very important. If I'm going to write a so-called comment song or a story song, I want to write it from a new angle. Now, oftentimes I do something that I think is very original, and then I look like in Ordinary Weekend, I thought it was pretty original for a rock song that the narrator has to pay for his crime and his general spinelessness by dying in the song. I thought that was unusual for rock music, but in fact, Powderfinger by Neil Young has exactly the same move where the guy seems to die at the end of the song. I got the idea, as with a lot of my ideas, from literature. And I mean, that one, I think, is from The Devil Inside by Jim Thompson, where I think, yes, it's him, and he dies at the end of the thing. Or one of those Jim Thompson novels, the guy actually dies and goes through the dying process as he's narrating. This blew my mind.
Drove me to a back room with a single swinging light. Someone said the fish are starving, ain't it time they had a bite? And I felt sick and stupid, and I damned my own brown hair, forgetting that the price you pay must far exceed the share. Someone pulled a knife out, and they stabbed me in the back. And they bound my hands, they tied my feet, they threw me in a sack. And they took me to a lakeside, where they threw my body. Desperate women, and hear your desperate man. Don't take your life for granted, please don't live your life in vain. But if you think that you can change it, hope you know you can't go back. Just go down to the lake, watch me floating in that sack, in that sack. Watch me floating in a sack. Watch me floating in a sack. Watch me floating in a sack.
I'm very, very affected by those English costume dramas on Masterpiece Theatre. And this song is a delusional song written by somebody who falls in love with the woman who's playing the main part in a fiction... Well, you don't actually know what the actual Masterpiece Theatre presentation is called, but she plays the governess. And he falls in love with her in a delusional way and imagines himself into the Masterpiece Theatre, in that he's actually a part of it. But all the time he's at this terrible, hopeless remove of knowing that he isn't really a part of it and that real life doesn't happen like this. And so it's really a very simple and silly idea, but it's one that I find quite affecting because I do like those shows a lot.
I'm in love with the governess. She's played by a beautiful actress who looks so good in period dress on Sundays on TV. She cares for the child of a titled squire who can't control his base desires. He'll beat his slaves when he retires out in the colonies. And it's not gonna get any better. No, it's not gonna get any better. And it's just like Masterpiece Theater since I met her, since I met the governess.
Credits. This concludes part one of John Wesley Harding's The Governess on Masterpiece Theater. I'm Russell Baker. I will say this about my stuff. I mean, I'm proud of it, of course, and I work hard at it. But I mean, there are definitely things happening in my writing that very other few people are up to. It's not that I publicize them, except I'm just about to. But I mean, there's whole lines of my songs that spell out little things. If you just take the first letter of each word in the line and stuff, because it amuses me to do it. And there's a song called Wooden Overcoat, meaning a coffin. So I wrote this song about death. And the last verse is, don't ever act too humble, don't eat away the heart, which spells out death in two different lines. And then the last line is, he's tearing apart each dungeon, his tail's an evil dart, which is death backwards twice.
Don't ever act too humble, don't eat away the heart, he's tearing apart each dungeon, his tail is an evil dart, and he's wearing a wooden overcoat.
Darwin's a very light song, really, but it just imagines a little scenario where it's about man's relationship to animals, and in the first verse, it's very stupid people in the safari park who get out of the car, and in the second verse, it's Siegfried and Roy's white tigers in Las Vegas, and they do some magic of their own by the end of the second verse. And then in the third verse, we're much further down the food chain, and it's the scavengers at home in the kitchen. And I think it's got a good kicker to it, that song, because in the first verse, it's the lions saying to the tourists, what are you doing out of your cars? Haven't you ever heard of Darwin? Don't you know what's going to happen now? And in the second verse, the tigers are staging their own rebellion on the stages of Vegas, and they're singing, do they think we're just going to vanish into the thin air every time they put us in this box? Don't they know that something's going to happen? Oh, and the really bad rhyme in the song, which is one of my best bad rhymes, is you know, haven't they ever heard of Darwin? Don't open your car windows. I like Darwin and Carwin. In the last verse, it's the scavengers, and there's no one left to turn on all the lights. So it's really just, it's like that movie, The Hellstrom Chronicles. It's got this guy going, look at the ants. This is terrifying. The blue ants fight the black ants. Soon the earth will be covered in ants. It's great. I can't remember what it's called. And that's what that song's about. And by the end of it, it's not don't open the windows. It's open the windows because there's no people left. It's just the jungle everywhere. And there's no one left to turn on all the lights.
Further down the food chain, closer to the ground, scurry all the scavengers at home. And you can tidy up the kitchen and wash all of the plates, but there's always meat left somewhere on the bone. All our tiny flatmates are waiting to inherit the legacy we'll leave behind one night. With perfect patience till there's no one left to turn on all the lights. And they'll sing, hadn't they ever heard of Darwin? Now we don't have to run and hide. Hadn't they ever heard of Darwin? Hey, open up the windows, it's a jungle inside. It's a jungle inside, it's a jungle inside. Or some so subpoena. Just when things mean nothing, it makes you meaner.
I know it's a funny one to sing when it's going through all those rhymes in the last verse. It's almost impossible to get them out. It's not Deus Ex Machina or some soul supine. It's just when things mean nothing, it makes me mean. And I think what that song means, it's all about futility and useless jobs. And it's kind of a Kafkaesque nightmare bureaucracy. It's like Brazil. It almost reminds me of the movie Brazil, that song. And all the characters in the song are going nowhere. You know, it's just a terrible thing. And to me, I think, obviously, there's Heart of Darkness by Conrad in there, isn't there? So that must be something to do with it.
You got a dark, dark heart. You got a dark, dark heart. You got a dark, dark heart. It's the Heart of Darkness. It's the Heart of Darkness. It's the Heart of Darkness.
Singer-songwriter John Wesley Harding on the importance of writing lyrics.